Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
God bless you. We welcome ourselves to the prayer meeting. Let's open our Bible to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 13 to 18. From verse 13 to 18. James chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And he rained not on the earth, but the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the heart brought forth a fruit. The Lord bless the reading of this word to our hearts. You can please be seated. God bless you. We just said the two exhortations this evening to encourage us as this journey continues. Because we don't have time. Before you know it, we will not be able to say much. Just a little exhortation. Prayer, the most powerful weapon given to man.
We read from here.
The book of James, talking about, I'm going to emphasize about Elijah. Bible says, "Perpetual fervent prayer of the righteous man at the launch," and it comes down to Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are.
In other words, he was a human being like us. He had all weaknesses that other human beings have. Other human weakness. If you go and study, what dwells now here, Elijah.
You know, a lot of things that the prophet said about him. This was the man that, killed the prophets of groups of Baal, prophets of Baal, 400 thereabout, slaughter all of them. And he was the man that literally Jezebel ran from him. Ram said quite a number of things about Elijah. That what is important is to understand the approach to God. What is important is to understand the approach to God. Prayer is the most powerful weapon given to man by God. That God has given to man to ask from God, to express our needs, our desires. It is through prayer we lay down our burdens. So I want to look at a few things that the prophet says here, so that we can go to pray. From the sermon Life, preaching 1958, May 19, from paragraph 4, 58, May 19. Life, from paragraph 4. Just reading a testimony here recently in a meeting, and before I take my text, I would like to
to speak that. And I was praying for some people, and there was a lady come up that had a stomach trouble. And it was very bad. I think the doctors had told her that they will even have to give her blood transfusion from ulcers, which had broken in her stomach. She was very bad, and there it was a duodenal ulcer. That's a very bad kind. So is the vision. The Lord told the woman what her troubles were and what she had done. And then after it was over, she said she believed it. And now that's all right. You watch that, you see. And she said, the Lord bless you. And now let me repeat that. Now that's all right. You watch that, you see, and say, the Lord bless you. That's Abraham putting what the Lord said. The Lord bless you, and the Lord heal you. We don't know yet, but then all of a sudden he changed and come back with thus saith the Lord. That's the vision, seeing what is going to be. One sees what has been, the other sees what is going to be. And many times I see death. Yeah, we are hitting the point. Yeah. Sometimes I see death, but I never see nothing about it. Until I know it is going to happen. Because sometimes death could be pronounced on you, and yet prayer could change that. Do you know that? It was done in the scriptures. When Hezekiah lay dying, did you imagine how that prophet must have felt? What he went up there saying, thus says the Lord, you are going to die. You are not coming off the bed. And it was a true prophet. Went outside of the chamber. There stood the celebrity of the palace. And, oh, great prophet, what will happen to our king? Thus said the Lord, he's going to die. On out to the soldiers in the yard, the palace yard, and the gates. What said, oh, prophet, the Lord to our great king? Thus said the Lord, he's going to die. He hadn't coming off the bed. Then on out into the street to the poor people, oh great prophet, what does the Lord say about our lovely king? Thus said the Lord, he's going to die. On down to his little house as he was going back home. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly and said, Lord, I beseech thee to consider me, for I have walked before you with a perfect heart. That is quite a testimony. Now, that's the point there. We'll come back to that. You know, if this time permits us. Isn't it? And I asked for 15 years longer of life. Now, who was the greatest man in the nation? The king. That was the great earthly king talking to the great heavenly king. Now, why didn't the king say to him, look at the king there. Now, why didn't the king, look at the king there, capital king, that's God. Why didn't God say to him, are you following me? Why didn't the king, that the king there is God. Are you following me there? Yeah. Okay, let's go back to... There was the great earthly king. You see the way that king is written with initial small letter. Talking to the great earthly king. You see the capital king. That's God. That other king is Hezekiah. So now say, now, why didn't the king, that's the Almighty God, say to him, that's the king, all right, Hezekiah, I hear your plea. Right? But you know God has a way of doing things. God has a way of doing things, and as we have to cooperate with his ways of doing it. Hezekiah was not born in that position for the Lord to talk to him that like that. So the Lord goes back down to the place where the prophet was sitting and said, go tell him I had his prayer and I'm going to spare for 15 years. What that prophet must have been taught coming back up there. You see, thus saith the Lord, he's going to live. Thus saith the Lord, he's going to live. What about the prophet? What are you going back for? Thus saith the Lord, he's now going to live. What did that? Prayer changes things from death unto life. It always does. So prayer is a weapon. You know, that's a privilege that God has given to man to change God's mind. That's a weapon that you can present before God that can change God's mind. Of course, I understand. And you should, you also know that the prophet that says this also knows, he also preaches to someone, does God ever change his mind about his word? The prophet preached the sermon, two series. But he also taught us this, that the greatest weapon God has given to man, that can change things, that can change death to life. No, God has reasons why he does things, which he may not give us the explanation. Because he's sovereign. He does what he likes. He does things according to his will. What will bring glory and honor to him? If he's not going to bring glory to him, he won't do it. Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms, he does all things well, the way it pleases him. Praise be to God. All right. Yeah, it's going to leave. Let me bring another story here. Because we have. All right. Let me read this also. The greater than Solomon is it. Well, because of our time, we might not read it. It's equally lengthy. Now, prayer changes things, as the prophet had taught us, but I want us to look at another instance in the ministry of Brother Branham. How prayer changed death into life. Where Brother Branham has initially said, thus said the Lord, to a man that was going to die, and because of prayer, for the person, the whole story changed. It was not even Abraham that prayed for the person. Let us read that here. I'm going to read from the sermon. What's the title? Sorry. Let me get to this. 16. Experiences. Preaching 1948. March 2. I will use the remaining time to go through it. From paragraph 53. Now then a little rock descent for me to come. I have to pick it from here. What was that man's name? Postmaster there. Ever who it is. From Memphis. Know who I'm speaking of, I guess. He's a tall fellow. But anyhow, when I get through with the description here, you will know. And the man who was with him was named Kenny. I remember that, Mr. Kenny. At the same for me to come over to pray for this man. She said he was dying. Well, I got ready to go, first plane flight. And instead of going over, I was getting ready and I was putting on this suit of clothes. And I had something like a war, like a wind blowing in the room, begin going. I thought, man, the wind is so high today. And I was putting on my shirt, you know, and coats and things. I was singing. Abraham was going to fix me to go over there. He said the man was dying. And that man that went over to Dr. General Pettit, you all remember him. They brought him in India by plane for this man. Everything said, is dying. Pneumonia case too. Said he's dying. The man can't get well. Had asthma. Asthmatic pneumonia. And so I started putting on my coat, and I was thinking Brabram would be there most any time. And they could get, and Mr. Kenny had come by a fast car. He was some kind of an official of the law there, you know. And I had a red light and sign on his car. And he come over, had left early so he could get me. So if the plane did miss. And I looked over there, and just a wall like going around in the room. A wall like going around in the room. And I lay down to pray. And when I did, the angel of the Lord spoke and said, do not go over there. His time has come. All right. I got up and took back off my coat. In a few moments, they came up to the door. And as Brother Kenny ran, he said, you, Brother? I said, yes. And Brother Brown was with him. Now, you all know Brother Brown. Or any of you wish to write to this testimony. He put his arm around me and said, oh, I have faith to know. Say, he's a personal friend of Paul Morgan. Say, I know of his daughter. I said, of course, he's unconscious now. But say, he's a bosom friend of mine. And say, you know, I said, but sir, you will probably find your booty gone when you return back. For thus said the Lord, the man is going to die. When? You just about where the Holy Spirit is warned me not to go. He spoke to me here in the room a few moments ago. He said, Brother Abraham said, just his wife said, they are coming in out of a big church, you know, into this church. You see, the plea was trying to use that to tell Brother Abraham, look, we have to pray for this man. They are leaving the denomination to come into this church. Just like somebody from out there trying to come in here and we are going to pray and God says the person is going to die. First time, don't you have a crow in the denomination? Come to the message and say the man is going to die. That's the case of Rabran here. You know, in their church, a big church, you know, into their church and say, it just means so much to her. I said, but I can't help him, sir. I cannot go against the will of God. I can't go. He said, you mean my body is going to die? I said, he will probably be there before you return. I said, however, what time will you get back? He said, I'll get back by 8 o'clock tonight. I said, come in the morning, I'll be praying. I said, I am interested in him. And let me know when he passes away. I said, you call me in the morning and let me know his condition. And just when he passed away, if he was passed away, when you get there. And never mind calling me tonight, because I'll be in service. And don't call me, because I don't know. May not be in for service till 2 or may not be in from service till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. When he started out crying. He said, my poor body like that, going back crying. Now, do you think that man will cry, just crying, no? He will go into prayers, because he was concerned about his friend. No, you really cannot help anybody until you enter into the fellowship of their suffering. But Ram told us that is what helped him in his ministry. He's able to enter into the condition of the person that he was praying for. If somebody is in a bad shape, you cannot help that person of that condition except you enter into the restitution that person is feeling. And that's when you can really, really help that person. I think that's a lesson for all of us to learn. When somebody is sick, the way you will pray for that person, you know, for that person to get out of that condition, will depend on how you feel for that person. Entering into the shoes of that person, feeling exactly the pain that the person is feeling, feeling the suffering the person is feeling the agony the person is feeling. And then by that you can present it before God and say, God. Because you are feeling exactly as if it's you passing through that. And then you are able to present that person to God. I tell you, God will answer that prayer. Going back crying. Well, I went on to Saturday that night, and that was, you know, as Abraham, he has given the prophecy, he will be expecting it to come to pass. He won't pray any other prayer after that. Yes. You know, just as the Lord moved it. Well, I went on to service that night, and that was the very night the maniac was healed. See? Went back and got in the bed, and the next morning I was in about 2 o'clock. And the next morning I woke up in the room. Now, I want you to listen to this real close. Now, so that you can get the story from Brother Brown. When I woke up in the morning, I just like that, and I thought, man, it's daylight. And look, sitting there by the side of my bed, and there sat the lady. Well, my room was locked. The door was locked. She had on a brown suit, light brown suit. She had kingdom mingled gray hair. She had on a white waist. A white waist, what they call the women. Ever we what they call the women. I think that's called coat waist. Coat suit, isn't it? When is God the dress and the coat up here of the same color, you know, the same thing. So she was sitting there and she was just looking so, she was looking so sad sideways. And I said, I raised up, I thought, why here? How would that woman get in here? The door's locked. I hear the key laying here. And the woman sitting there in Abraham's room. I started to raise up to say, madam, and when I did, I looked back over here, and there sat a man sitting there, and he was a tall man, that very man. If you remember from the beginning that I started reading, there was a tall man that is flew in. Tall man wore a light suit and gray hair and had a red tie on. He was just looking so sad like that. And she looked around to him, and the kinder smiled, and the kinder looked over each other. And I thought, well, what is this? And I raised up right, just as natural. Friends, God is my judge. As if I am sitting right here looking at you, like that. And I said, well, what is this? And I look up, and I was standing on a platform somewhere in a church. Well, it was in his room, but that was a vision. Where? I beat my finger to see if I was just sleeping or what was wrong with me. And I saw what it was not, it was a vision. In other words, it wasn't sleeping, it was a vision. And I look at it, and just then, I just went fading out. It just went fading out. And I seen them laughing at each other. And they were bowing their heads towards me like that, and smiling to one another, and bowing their heads like that, and they just faded out of the room like that. When I got up and I prayed, I said, God, I don't know them. What does that mean? That will probably be. You know, Abraham has not gone. Abraham was prepared, they were preparing a plane for him to go. So, and they were doubting whether the plane would delay. So they bought the fast car. Brabran came together with that officer. He came with the Branca. So Brabran came to me, Brabran. Meanwhile, God has told Brabran that don't go. He's going to live. He's not going to live. He's going to die. Brabran was still in his room. He has not even seen the man. He has not seen the wife. He was giving a description of that man. So it was in the vision Brabran saw the man. It was in the vision Brabran saw the woman. You had, okay? Where was I? All right. When I got up, I prayed and said, God, I don't know them. What does that mean? That probably be somebody coming in today with that description. Sometimes I see people coming into the meeting like that. I said, now, when I see them, you hear me. You had me many times to go and say, thus said the Lord, stand up. See, because God has already spoken that. That has to happen. And I thought, well, somebody in like that. So I thought, I will read my Bible. This is very Bible. I said, Lord, where will you have me to read in your Bible this morning? I just love to read the word of the Lord. I just took my hand like that. Now, listen, what Abraham is describing here is supernatural. And I want you to understand that. I just love to read the word of the Lord. I just took my hand like this, laid it on the Bible, and opened it up. It wasn't gambling, no. You know, sometimes I can do that when I hold my Bible. Sometimes if you do that, you can hold on to Job. Where Job says that my life is perished. It begins to cause himself. So then what are you going to say when you open that kind of scripture? You said the Lord that led you to that place. So Brahman warned us not to do that. In another sermon, he warned us not to do that. Read the word of the Lord. I just took my hand like this, laid it on the Bible, and opened it up. And it opened up there to where Isaiah was sent to Hezekiah to pronounce to him that his time had come. You see divine intervention there. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord heard his voice and came back and spoke to Isaiah. Said, go tell him I have spared him 15 years. You remember that? Well, I said, isn't that a strange thing? When I say that scripture seems, I don't forget about that or that one. But Abraham said he has forgotten about the man. That case over there. I say, that's strange, isn't it? Abraham was not linking this scripture he read with the man that he said was going to die. He wasn't linking it. And about that time, the phone rang. I said, well, that's Abraham coming up to help me, to come get me and take me down. You know, there are two or three with me. I thought that's him coming to get me, to get me for breakfast. And I took down the receiver. I said, hello. He said, hello, Brother Abraham. I said, yes, sir. How are you, Brother Abraham? He said, this is not Brother Abraham. This is Brother Kenny in Memphis. I said, oh, I thought nobody knew what room I was in. And no one knew where I was staying, you see. But Brother Abraham, and I knew Brother Kenny knew then. I said, yes. What kind of news you got? And just then, it dawned on my mind what the vision was. And he said, well, Brother Abraham, we have set up all night. We thought he was leaving. Say, they are here now. Say, they are just looking for the last minute anytime. Say, Brother Abraham, I reckon I could get my wife to come over in your next meeting. When you go over to Jonesboro the first of the year, say, bring her over, put her in the meeting. The brother's wife needs a prayer. I said, it may be you, Osa, but I said, you are saying she. He said, yes. He said, yes, sir, he's dying. I said, is his wife there? Have we missed anything? All right. He said, yes. He's dying. I said, is his wife there? He said, yes. I said, does his wife ever wear a brown suit and got a white waist on it? She's kind of a gray-haired woman. Said, sure. I said, does he ever wear a light-colored suit? Does he get gray hair and he wears a red tie? Say, that is the way he is dressed all the time. Why? You know him? That brother Kenny was asking Brother Abraham that, do you know him? This description you are giving, you are describing the man that you pronounced that was going to die. That is wearing that tie was on him, that's the way he dressed all the time. You know him? He said, Brother Abraham said, yes. Tell the wife to come to the phone. Now let me tell you something. This is a supernatural thing. It's a spiritual thing. Abraham understood it now. Abraham understood the vision of when this man called him. You know that's what he said there. Tell the wife to come to the phone. He said, well, Brother Abraham, I said they are looking for him to go anytime, any minute. I said, well, tell him to come to the phone. Said, well, I already told her that you said he was going to die. I said, but I want her to come to the phone. She came to the phone. I said, hello. And I asked if it was her. Said, yes. I said, well, this is Brother Abraham. I said, yes, sir. I heard Brother Abraham. I said, but look, sister, are you ready now? She said, what do you mean? I said, thus says the Lord, your husband shall live. I said, do you believe that? And I didn't hear no answer. I said, you believe that? I couldn't hear no answer. I thought, and I had somebody crying, carrying home out there, and she had fainted. The wife of the man. The vision Abraham saw was the wife of the man. The vision of the together with the man. The way the woman was dressed, the way the man was dressed. I thought she had fainted. And she fell down on the floor. So then Brother Kenny picked up the phone, said, what's the matter, Brother Abraham? The woman fainted. I said, I told her, thus said the Lord, her husband is going to live. He said, what? I said, yes, he is going to live. I said, I described him. I saw him in the vision a few minutes ago. He's going to live. He said, oh, can I come after you to come and bring him there? I said, just meet the next plane. I'll be there. Went up that hospital. Doctors were over there. I walked in. Here come his sister down the hall. She said, the very idea, the only roller preacher out here, and my brother dying in there, I think it's a disgrace. You know, to be saying that he's not going to die, and this and that. Oh, man. That couldn't stop nothing. The devil couldn't send enough imps out of hell to stop that. There is nothing. It is absolutely there. That's all. That has done, said, thus said the Lord. It is there. Oh, you don't know how I felt walking in there. Walk down the hall. Here come a nurse out there from in there, you know. And I said, is there anyone in there, lady? And she said, yes, there are two doctors in there. I said, tell them to get out. Oh, my. You don't know how I felt. In the room, there are just two of them. Walk down there. Friends, I know some of you will judge me a fanatic, but God is my judge. Who I stand before, just walk into the room like that, and then doctors went out. That very sarcastic look, you know.
The doctor just says, look at them. They walk out.
Like that. And then doctors went out, you know, walking, poor old sister, she was just about to faint. And I said, now, don't worry. I didn't have an overcoat, and I borrowed Brother Brown's, and I had this Bible sticking down in the pocket, and the overcoat was too big for me. I just carried it to keep me from looking so bad. It was cold weather. And so I laid the overcoat down in the chair, and I told her, now, go get the Bible and turn to certain scripture. We are seen there in Isaiah. She began to read it. And look at him. And that moody look color in his eye, you know, of where his eyes like, you know, that water coming out. His mouth was back. His ear was about like that. He was laying there under that oxygen tent like that. Look, reached over into the oxygen tent and got a hold of his hand. There is the vibration hitting. And I shook him a little bit. I said, you hear me, sir? She said, he's been unconscious for about 2 days there. I said, you don't doubt a word I say. Do you? She said, no, sir. I do not doubt a thing. She's a fine little woman. I took a hold of his hand. I said, dear God, you who spoke to me this morning in the vision, I know these people are to meet me at Jonesboro Arkansas in the service, for I was standing on that platform, and this is the man and woman. I said, now let the angel of God speak. I felt the vibrations leave. I just kept on praying. I felt him grip my hand. I know life was there. I felt him grip my hand. I just waited there a little bit. Directly, I looked up. I began to see him wetting his lips. Like this. You know, she was still down at the foot of the bed crying. That's the wife. And I just waited just a little bit. Directly I saw him look over like that. I said, "You know me?" And she raised up right quick. That's the one. And she looked. She saw him raise up on his head. Like on his hand. Like on his hand like this. Looked at me. Said, "You know? You know me?" Say, "Yes, it's Brother Brown." Man, she just drove through the that was in ten nearly. Say that like that. Grab him up around like that. And just when they're hugging him and everything. I just slip right out of the room like that.
Praise
be to God.
Sorry for taking your time.
Prayer changes things. If prayer can change dead to life,
there's nothing prayer cannot do. There's no body that cannot be lighted. There's no difficult situation that cannot change.
Let's bow down our heads. Let's talk to God. This God that we read about here, he stayed the same, is here with us today.
He has never changed.
He's a God of miracle, the living God.
You Thank you.
Jesus Christ's name we pray. Those at the altar can remain after our pastors to pray. God, the prayer will continue.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for bringing us together here for this midweek meeting. Father, we thank you for a portion of your word that has been read to us. Lord, those things are so many in the Bible. How you have seen the world you have done in the ministry of your servant, the same messenger that you have sent to us at this time. To show to us, O God, how powerful prayers can be. Master, you are giving it all to us as your children. We pray, God, that as you have taught us never to worry for nothing, to stay in every prayer. We grant our supplication with thanksgiving. We shall always make our request known unto you. Each time this is done, may you give us faith that we have need of, to believe that what we ask for we have received, because that is what you said. Thank you, our Father. A few things that have been read are drawing your children to the altar, and many other people who were just attracted our attention. You are reminding us of the pain that you have done for us, freely giving unto us. Master, whatsoever those things might be, in individual hearts that have brought them to the altar, may they believe they have received. In the name of Jesus Christ, may they go back, testify, giving praise, appreciating God for answers to their prayers. And may their prayers go on to testimonies, Lord. Thank you, Father, as we lead the rest of the service that you bless. Replenish your server that you have used by children as letting. While we lead the rest of the service, you bless this power of us to pray and to come and say. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. In Jesus' most powerful name, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Thank the Lord for helping us to this point. We believe God has heard your prayers.
You believe that will be testimony? God bless you. Let's sing this song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. As the last time said, I will hand over to the associates.
great privilege again to be in your house for this midweek service. Dear Lord, we cannot but say that it is good for us to be here, because the blessings of your presence has made a difference in our life. Thank you very much for the worship aspect of the service, the reading of the scriptures, Lord, the portion of the messages that were read to us, your testimonies of your great power in the Bible, of what prayer can do, and also how you repeated it in the ministry of your prophet. We are grateful, we are thankful. Lord, these are just few out of such that you did in our generation, because they are innumerable. We bless your holy name. We pray, dear God, that this will lift our faith up further. Lord, to encourage us to pray and to trust in your promises. Dear Father, we pray, O God, that day by day our faith will be lifted up. And the things that we believe you have done for us, may we never give up on them, Father. May we keep trusting you to see them in manifestation to the glory and the honor of your name. Thank you for the vessel you have used once again. We pray you bless him and lift up the honor of his ministry and grant every desire of his own heart. Thank you, O God, for your blessings now. Mr. Tonight, the request we have committed into your hand, both the ones raised by individuals and the ones that we used to raise normally on this slide, we have committed unto you as many as we could within the time frame. Lord, this time, O God, your prophet has told us that the best time to really praise in our home where we are all along with you and shorten with you. May you teach us how to pray. Help us there, Father, because we have seen so much that prayer we have accomplished in our life, and testimonies of the same in the scripture and in the message, they are so plenty. Help us there, Father. Teach us how to pray. And give us faith when we pray, dear God, to believe our prayers. Thank you, King of glory. All that you have done for us tonight may be permanent in our life. May your presence that brought us safely take us back home safely. Protect us in the highway and byway, Father. We ask, Lord, that the rest days of the week, may your mercy rest upon us, Father. Bless every aspect of the days for us, student workers, business people, travelers. May you bless each one, Father. Thank you for bringing your servant from Abeokuta for the meetings at the weekend. We are grateful to you. As a goal for the tooth extraction tomorrow, we pray you be with him. And let there be an excellent job done, Father. May no pain trouble him, dear God. Take charge of it yourself. And let him have a wonderful experience after the treatment. Thank you, King of glory. Blessed be your wonderful name for granting our petition. Those who are not here tonight, wherever they are, may you watch over your people. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. The Lord bless you. All right, to welcome Mr. Ashegu, if I pronounce it correct, Ashegu Favor. God bless you. I hope they wrote it correct. God bless you. You are welcome. God bless you. And also, I can see Sister Ruth Akega. Sister Ruth, God bless you. Maybe this is second to the last final trip. You know, according to the information we have, less than a month, she will do something to that Akega and take another name where we will witness it. We are praying for them that the Lord will see them through and give them a Christian hope also. God bless you. We'll meet on table Friday. I hope people, you play it, it will be for your spiritual growth. You don't play it, but it's been special blessings for me, those tapes. They have been a special blessings. May the Lord help all of us. Shall we rise? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of God.